Hey everyone, hope you're enjoying your snow day today. Quite another snow day for us to enjoy shoveling and snuffling too, whatever that might be. My name is Rich, pastor here at Conchalk and Vineyard Church. I want to welcome you, and I want to start off by asking you a question. This is something that an English teacher might call an essential question. So shout out to all those English teachers out there. It's a question that is at first seems very simple, but in the end, it actually probes to the deepest parts of who we are, the deepest recesses of our soul. And this is the question. What is your favorite Super Bowl commercial? Now, maybe that's not quite the question, but I'm going to be enjoying watching the Super Bowl with my family this week. But here's the question. Here's really the question. The question is, if you could ask God for anything and know that he would give it to you, what is that one thing you would ask God for? Interesting. That's a question that I've wrestled with for quite some time, and something I want to ask God for today. It's something I want to ask you about if you've pondered that question, because it's something that John writes about as we go through our next sermon series together. So let's take some time, let's pray, and let's talk a little bit about asking God for big things. God, thank you for bringing us together online today. And I pray that you would expand our imagination for who you are, what you do, and your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if you're just joining us, I wanted to, again, welcome you to Conchalk and Vineyard Live. My name is Rich. I'm the pastor. And we're going through a sermon series called The Love of the Father, God, and looking at God's love for us as a father. And today we want to look at asking God for anything at all, as John writes about in 1 John 5:14-15. Let's take a look at this as we explore one of the most profound implications of having God as a father and living as a child of God is this invitation to ask God for anything. So this is what John writes in chapter 5. He says this, chapter 5, starting in verse 14. He says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask God for anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." So let me ask this question. Who wouldn't want to have this kind of confidence in their prayer life, to pray for something and know that you have the answer and to be able to receive whatever it is, anything at all that you ask for? This is certainly one of the most challenging scriptures in the Bible, and something Jesus talks about himself directly to the disciples in John at the Last Supper. It almost sounds too good to be true. Like, really? Are you really saying that, Jesus? So what's the deal? I mean, some of us may have prayed things before and we've not gotten answers. We've prayed multiple times. We've spent years, weeks, months, however long it might be, praying for things and not seeing them come to pass. So what is John getting at? What are we doing as we pray and seek God? What are some of the things that we might learn from this passage here? Well, the key part of the verse, as we can see here, it says according to God's will. And really the key takeaway for today is that praying God's will is how we know that we have whatever it is that we ask for. The key is praying God's will. Now that may sound simplistic or simple, but it's something that we often miss out on as we pray. We often think of things differently than God would think of them. And you know what God has been saying through the book of John, what John's been writing, is that our prayer life, our life with God and our life with others, needs to grow out of an intimate relationship with him. And it's an intimacy with God as a father, a relationship with him, spending time in his presence, that we learn what his will is, that we learn what he has. And part of that is the process of removing sin, removing idols, removing all the things that so easily hinder us from seeing and understanding God's will for our lives. And because we're often full of those things, our prayer lives are impacted, and the way that we ask for things is significantly affected. And it's through a close, loving relationship with God that we can understand his will and what he has for us. So one of the main issues that we face when we're praying, because of all these issues that we often have internally, is that they interfere. And we often ask and approach, as James writes about himself, that we ask with selfish motives, or we ask with false intent, or we ask through the lens of looking at the idols that John so often talked about, or the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life. And all of those things impact the way that we pray. And so it's as we overcome and understand God's will that we're free of that. Now, you might imagine, or you could imagine, what would happen if God, or a father, let's just say a normal earthly father for now, gave their son or daughter anything they asked for right when they asked for it. What impact do you think that would have on a child? Well, I'll tell you the impact it'll have, and you might know this character, Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka. You'd end up with a Veruca Salt. If you don't know Willy Wonka, I feel bad for you. You need to watch the movie. Best movie ever. So Veruca, she just gets everything she wants from her very affluent father, and she's spoiled rotten. And in the end, the Oompa Loompas carry her off and sing a song about how bad their parents did, how bad a job was. So that is exactly what happens if we were to get everything we want exactly when we wanted it. A little bit more of an extreme example, but the same thing applies in our relationship with God. If we got everything we wanted when we wanted it, there would be something missing in our lives, and that's our development as people who trust God and know God and love people. You see, our formation, who we're becoming, is more important than the things that God gives to us. It's the person that we are that is most valuable to God. And His will for each of us is that we become like Jesus, like we've talked about in the past. And ultimately, when we pray, we need to understand God's priorities for our lives. And God's priority is not always about getting new things and bigger things and things that we think, but shaping us into the kind of people that He wants us to be. And we need to understand that that is part of God's will. So rather than this verse being just an ironclad promise that we'll get whatever we want whenever we ask it, we need to see this as an invitation to understand and know God as His child, and to understand His will in an intimate relationship with Him. And as we do, as we understand His will, we can grow in confidence that what we ask for is what He wants. And as we are confident in that, we have what we've asked for. Also, you can see that this verse doesn't say anything about timing either. Often, God's timing is a lot different than what we might expect. But if you ever wonder if you're praying according to God's will, here's a question that you could ask yourself, and something that I find helpful, is that would a good and loving Father with a big picture perspective of my life give me this gift, and why or why not? And when we pray, we often get one of three answers. Maybe you've heard it said this way. He either says yes, no, or slow, or slow down, that the answer might be coming just not right now. And sometimes we rush into thinking that God doesn't love us. We rush into thinking that God's not hearing us. We falsely presume that He doesn't care about the requests that we have, when in fact He does have the answer for us. It's just waiting for the right moment. I want to share a story with you. I remember I was about 10 years old, about the age of my youngest son, thereabouts, and we took a trip to the King of Prussia Mall. I used to go to the King of Prussia Mall all the time. I'm from the King of Prussia area. That's where I grew up. And I loved the King of Prussia Mall, and it was mainly because of one reason. It's because they had this our video arcade parlor called the Spaceport. Any of you guys out there ever heard of the Spaceport? I mean, it was amazing. They had real physical video games back before Dave and Buster's and those kind of places existed. It was heaven on earth for a little kid. But I loved going for that purpose, but also for buying clothes and shoes when I needed them. And on this particular trip, I remember going to probably the Spaceport because I wanted to go there every time I went to the mall. But on this particular trip, I wanted a specific pair of white, shiny shoes. I remember wanting them so bad. I tried them on. They felt perfect. I imagined myself running really fast on the playground, looking really cool for all the kids to see and compliment my shoes. And I tried them on. They were right size. They felt perfect. The vision was there. And I asked my parents, or my dad in particular, could I get them, Dad? And he's like, no, I don't think this is the right time. Or no, you can't really get them right now. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I remember feeling a little bit disappointed and driving away. I remember driving on Mall Boulevard, just crying my eyes out, asking my dad if I could have them, but just slowly, even with a little smile on his face, saying, no, it's not the time. Now, little did I know that he had actually already bought them, probably when I was at the spaceport playing video games, and then he was going to give them to me at the right time. Probably, I think it was my birthday, although the timing is a little bit hazy. I actually had it, but it wasn't, the time wasn't right. There was a special time that he had planned, and he actually gave me more than that, those pair of shoes my parents had planned, and I had them. And the same thing is how we operate in our relationship with God. We somehow think that he's not providing for us, or we develop these false narratives that God is withholding from us. But in fact, the timing of things, and even his withholding, is because he loves us. But many times he has the actual thing that we're asking for. We just need to wait and to persevere and not give up. Just like the importunate widow that Jesus described, who kept knocking and bothering the evil judge. And just because the judge was bothered by the woman's persistence, he gave it to her. And how much more will the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, give to those who ask? As Jesus says, that we need to continue to press in, persevere in prayer, believing that God has what he asks for us. But one of the things to keep in mind, as I had mentioned earlier, that sometimes God giving us the thing we're asking will be our undoing. Of course, I can't go too many sermons without quoting Dallas Willard. So one of the key pieces of wisdom that I remember, I believe it was from one of his books or maybe a message that he gave, is that he recommended praying this prayer, which I believe very few people will pray. But God, don't give me any more success or any more in my life than my character can handle. Isn't that an incredible prayer? And I've prayed that prayer. God, I want to see big things happen. I want certain things in my life, but don't give me any more responsibility or power or success or whatever it might be that we're asking for than my character can handle. Because ultimately, the greatest gift God can give us is that we would be like him, to be like Jesus, the ultimate aim, like we've talked about. God wants to give us things that are even bigger than we're asking for, but he also does want to give us those things in his timing and in his will as we learn what his will is. So here's the question. So how do we know what is in alignment with his will? Well, for one, as we've seen John talk about, is that we understand God's will. We understand our identity as his children by spending time in his presence. It is by being in the presence of God and practicing the presence of God on a regular basis that we understand his will. As well, we understand his will when we read his word. In his word, we can understand his will, and it's right here in black and white. As we understand and grow in knowing God's will, not just the head knowledge, but in practice, in putting it into practice, we understand what God's will for us is. And this is one of the most helpful and practical things that I've done even in my life. Now, I want to share a little bit. Some of you who know me have heard my story, my life story, and the story of my wife and I, or maybe I'll call it my wife story, not just my life story like that one officiant in the Princess Bride, my wife story, with pronouncing all of his letters with W's instead of L's. But I prayed for probably over a decade before I met my wife that God would, and I knew this was in his will, provide me with a wife who loved him. And I remember specifically, this is just a small example, but what I would do is I would collect pennies, and when I would get my change pennies, I had this giant Tootsie Roll bank that was probably about 4 feet long. Have you ever seen those little tubes that you could put pennies and coins in? And every time I would get a penny or a coin from after shopping, maybe playing video games at the spaceport, I would take those coins and put them in that bank. And particularly the pennies, the P that starts with penny, reminded me to pray for my future wife. So I'd pray a specific prayer every time I put a penny in that little bank. And I'd pray that my wife, she's my woman. Jess, you're my woman. If you're listening to this, you're my woman. Anyway, I would pray that my wife one day would be a woman of, and I would pick something starting with the letter P. I don't know why I did that, but I did, that she would be a woman of prayer. I prayed that she would be a woman of the presence of God. I prayed that she'd be a woman who, I forget the rest of the P words I prayed for, but God and praise was another one, that she would love to worship God. And God answered those prayers. And there's more to that story. I don't want to keep us online longer than we have to. And those of you who know God's miraculous provision in my life for my wife and how he arranged those things. But I want to encourage you, for example, if you're single or you're seeking a husband or you're seeking a wife, is to pray specifically. Pray, ask God for what he wants to do in your life. And there's those of you who are called to be single, and that is a tremendous gift, as Jesus was. Jesus modeled that for us, and we want to ask God, God, what is it that you will for this season of my life? What is it that you will for my future? And as we do so, God will be faithful and answer us and give us, I believe, what God wants to give us, the desires of our heart. Those of you who do desire to be married or have a significant relationship or be part of a larger family, God will answer those prayers as you pray according to his will, because that is God's will for us, that we have be part of a family, that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, and ultimately God's family, as and having brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles in the body of Christ is part of who we are called to be. I can say again and again just how God has answered prayers, even as we planted a church. This church was built on prayers alone. The founding team, what we would do, the first thing that we did and how we spent our time together when we just existed as a dream was that we prayed together, and we prayed for the future of where we would be, who we would be, for the people we have yet to meet. And it is in prayer that God has been faithful to answer. It is incredible to see God's provision as we pray and ask him for what he wants. And now, as we get closer to the Lenten season, I want to encourage us and just take this time to remember that we serve a loving Father, that we are his children, and he likes to serve us. He loves to give us the desires of our heart. He likes to see us joyful and free and enjoying our lives, enjoying what he has prepared for us. And I would like to encourage us to consider taking this time during Lent, to fast and to pray and to seek God together for the things that he has for us. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But I've been praying recently, along with, I know, many of you in our church, those of you who consider Conshohocken in your church home, for a building, a place that we could call home, where we can gather together regularly, where we don't have to set up things and tear them down every week to the extent that we've been doing it for the past 6 years, minus the pandemic time. But that has its own logistical challenges as well. But hey, if God doesn't have that for us now, we need to rest and trust in God's provision for us during this time. One of the big prayers I've been praying is that not only could we, you know, have a building, but I think that's really a secondary thing. I believe God wants to use our church to multiply movements of disciples, all not only in our area from the main line to Main Street, but all throughout the world. I've been challenged recently, as I've been praying and reading and thinking, to pray big prayers, to pray, to take my prayer requests and multiply them by 100, multiply them by 1,000, and see how God works through that. And perhaps God would want to challenge you in the same way, to pray God-sized prayers, to pray prayers that reflect the love that God has for us as his children. And when you pray, I want to offer a couple of suggestions. Here's some practical suggestions that I've learned as I've prayed. And one is to pray specifically. So instead of praying, for example, oh God, would you help all of the poor people in the world have food and shelter, you could say something like this. You could say, God, show me the specific people in my life that I know right now that need help and who need you. Or I pray for Jane down the street who's suffering from the loss of a loved one. Show me how I can express your love to her this week. So be specific. As you pray specifically, then you'll know that those prayers are answered. And God wants us to be specific. And it's amazing what he can do. Also, if you get stuck praying, or if you're thinking, well, this whole prayer thing is kind of weird, I don't know how or what to pray specifically, you can use, again, you can use Scripture to be able to pray. There are several, there are many prayers in the Scriptures. The Psalms are full of prayers that you can pray in order to connect yourself with God. But even praying for different things to happen, like praying for God's people to be one, for there to be unity within God's people, for God's kingdom to come and will to be done. That outline of the Lord's Prayer is a way that we can pray for the kingdom of God to break through into people's lives. I would use Scripture as a way to guide you and give you inspiration for how you can be praying. One of the things I'd love to do together as a church is, as we've done in the past, I'd like to let you use a guide, a prayer guide, that you can put in your Bible, just like so. This is the one we've used last year. I'm going to send one out in the next newsletter this week and make it available on the Faith Street app so that you can pray. You have some guidance so that we can be praying together for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done. And what fasting does, as we fast and pray together, which is often a tradition within the church for the last hundreds of years, that we together as the Big C Church pray and fast, is what we're doing there is creating space for God. We're denying ourselves food for a period of time, for a short period of time, so that we can say, not my will, but your will be done. In fasting and prayer, we learn how to pray according to God's will. By practicing, by putting those spiritual disciplines into place, we learn how to pray according to what God wants and not simply what we want. And I'd encourage everyone in our church to one degree or another to participate as we seek God together. And we'll get into some of those specific details in upcoming weeks as we pray together during the Lenten season as that comes. But I'm excited for this time, and I'm excited for what God wants to do. But there's a difference between one child asking and many children asking altogether. And why don't we together, as God's children, as a church family, pray specifically for what God has for us? I'll close with this story. Some of you know, or many of you, because I've mentioned it before in some of these messages, and many of you know me, but we have a cat and dog now. But rewind, go back a year ago, there was no way we were getting a cat or a dog. I did not want either of those anywhere near our house. I just was not a dog person, and I was definitely not a cat person. So what happened was is that over the course of the year, COVID hit, and one kid would say, Dad, can we please get a cat, or can we please get a dog? And then two kids together, and then three, and then four, and then my wife were just asking, hey, what do you think about this? My wife and I started having conversations, but there were moments at the dinner table where my kids were asking me, please, Dad, please, can we have a dog? Please, can we have a cat? And together, their will became my will. And ultimately, it was my will to make them happy and to provide a dog for them. I'll make the sacrifices, and I'll put up with all the mess and the dog hair and all the other kinds of things that go along with having animals. And man, let me tell you, it has been a tremendous blessing for our family. And what if we, as a church family, just took this next month or so and prayed specifically for the big things, the big plans God has for our lives, not just corporately, but also individually. And so what we're going to do with this prayer guide that's going to be soon let out, that we'll release to each of you and send it out to you, is take some time to pray both on a corporate level and on a personal level. And I'd encourage you to ask for big things. Ask God for whatever is on your heart according to his will, and ask him to shape your heart in the process. God, show me if this is according to your will. Help me to pray. And then certain things you just don't need to even ask, because his word tells us so. What if we did that together? So I'd encourage you, perhaps sometime today, if you're part of a family or you have a couple friends that you like to pray with, is to ask God, before you start asking and regularly praying, is ask God for the thing that you should be asking for. That's one of the ways you could pray. So let me just finish with the same question I started with. So if you were to ask God for something God-sized, for something that is on your heart, if you could ask God for one thing, what would that be? Let's close by praying together. Father, sometimes our dreams and our requests are often or are almost always human-sized and take into consideration only what we can do. But with you, God, all things are possible because you love us. You've called us. You've given us a new identity as your children. And I pray that the next several months, even leading up to Easter and our celebration of your resurrection, that you would increase our faith for who you are, increase our faith for what you want to do, even in the midst of trying times, and that we would see your love expressed in our lives in ways we never even dreamed possible. Thank you for your love for us, God. And in these things, and in all these things, we ask in your name, the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.